unheardnerd.com.
Welcome to Word to the Nerd, the interview podcast from theunheardnerd.com. I'm your host, Will, and you can find me on Twitter. It's at theunheardnerd, facebook.com/theunheardnerd, and check out theunheardnerd.com. This is a special show. I caught up with Random, aka Mega Ran, just ahead of his Headline in London show a few weeks ago. So this is an interview with Random. Enjoy.
Listen up, yeah, it's a word to the nerd. Coming through the speakers from the one you never heard. A brand new show you don't want to miss, because you never heard a nerd with a style like this. Nerdcore, hip-hop, 8-bit, pop rock. It's our culture on the rise and it won't stop. Podcast drop, best day of the week, because the unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak.
Yeah, another year, here we go. I think this is gonna be the best one yet. I'm up early in the morning, breath stinking as I'm going, and it's another sunny day in PA. Got my mind focused on a lesson I'ma bring to the brethren, cause the kids be forgetting these days. I think I'ma start small with a little right end, then move the type in, try to make it exciting. I then hop by the bed with a smile on, stretch with my eyes on, turn the laptop power on. Got an email saying I got 3 sales, all in Japan, and all of them females. In the shower singing new raps I pin, the one a shirt and tie, slacks I've been saving for a special occasion. The first day, grab a banana, starving in the worst way, driving to school, pumping more talk, and he mad at Joe cause he gave up for a walk. Stop at the cell, pour a coffee and a donut, see a young boy talking loud to the grown-ups. They all discussing these fads and such, complaining how these kids can't pull their pants up. He obliges when they ask him, but he leaves the store and they right back sagging. In 20 minutes that bell's gonna ring, first day of school, time to do my thing.
It's nice to meet ya, I'm gonna be your teacher this year.
Everybody in the room put a hand up, wave it around like you know the answer.
It's nice to meet ya, we're gonna have some fun.
Okay, I'm here with Random Mega Ran here at Saria in King's Cross, Pentonville Road, London. Yes. For your first, I can't believe this, your first ever Headline in London gig. Is that right?
That's right. It's crazy.
Is it can't be.
Technically, I guess the book club show last year was technically my first.
Okay.
I feel like this one is more of my first because it's one that I put together kind of on my own.
Okay.
And yeah, so it feels more like my first. I'm a lot more nervous this time than I was that time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, man.
Pressure,
you know, pressure to produce, you know, it's... I feel like this place has seen some very legit acts come through.
It really has. I mean, let's describe the place. Yeah, I mean, we're in the...
If we can set the scene in the green room.
I've never been in the green room before. I've been to the club a few times to see the likes of MC Lars and Tribe One with Malibu Shark Attack recently. But the green room here is luxury, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, this is luxurious. I mean, you got cushioned couches, spare power amps, you got... several chairs,
some old refrigerators,
cash register. This is great.
Well, I mean, I guess you've seen worse.
Oh, certainly, I've seen much worse. This is luxury compared to most U.S. Green rooms. So, you know, I'm happy.
So, something that comes up quite regularly, a question that is asked regularly of you, is there are many facets to the Mega Ran or Random brand. There's Random, there's Mega Ran, there's Random Beats, there's Mirandom.
Nah.
What's the distinction between each?
Well, I realized a little while ago that it's not smart for an indie artist to try to separate and differentiate brands because you have limited resources to begin with. So it doesn't make any sense to spread out those limited resources under separate names and brands. But I was initially Random with an idea or a dream of creating Random Beats Productions, which was my production company, my label, so to speak, where I would release my own music. And then I made a video game tribute album and called it Mega Ran. And then that became me. It was more like an alter ego, but it became me. People started calling me Mega Ran. So I feel like the best names aren't made, they're given sometimes. And that's kind of how it works. And so Mega Ram was what people knew me as. Random isn't exactly the most Google-friendly word. So therefore, it was Random, a.k.a. Mega Ram. I was going to plan this year to only go by Mega Ram. Just to try to keep some consistency with the releases and the titles and how people could find them. And I just don't want people to not be able to find my work. There's several acts named Random on iTunes, on Spotify. And so it can get confusing. I'm like, what? You dropped a new album? I didn't know that. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And it's right next to my album. Yeah. You know? And people might buy it and not know. So yeah. I want to be able to make sure people know who I am.
I was always under the impression that Random was your non-nerdy work and Mega Ram would be your more nerdy work.
That was the initial plan. But again, it just didn't always make sense for me to try to differentiate branding because it could be harder to keep up with. Mm. You know, if you do a tour as Random, they're like, is that the Random guy from Mega Ram? I don't know. You know, Mega Ram, is that Random? You know, I've had people tell me, I was out at gigs, and they're like, you sound like this guy I used to know named Random, but I don't think he makes music anymore. It's just like, wait a minute. Like, I'm totally failing at this. So it's just Random, a.k.a. Mega Ram, I think is the best way to keep both words there so everybody knows exactly who that is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Swedish chiptune artist named Random. There's a boy band named Random. There are a lot of folks with the name. So, yeah. You know, I just wanted to make it easy to find, and that's all. So now for this year, you know, when I did the Trap album, I called it Mega Ram Trap. Now, although it did not have anything to do with video games, it was just more of a way for people to find me.
Well, let's discuss that. Television and radio are poison.
Yes.
I have mixed feelings about that, because I'm a real big fan of radio.
Again, it was more of a rage statement. It was how I felt at the time. I had finished watching some horrible reality TV and listening to some terrible commercial radio. But I mean, NPR is great.
Absolutely.
I love NPR. I absolutely love Game of Thrones. You know, so not all television or radio are poison. But,
persist with a sequel. What's going on?
Well, you know what? I felt like at that point, after people heard the first album, hopefully I figured they would understand that I meant, you know, reality TV and mainstream radio, and because they're regurgitating the same topics, ideas, and perpetuating the same stereotypes over and over and over again. And it became very poisonous to people that I know and people that, you know, people all over the place. You know, it's very poisonous. And so I felt like I needed to say something about it, you know. Again, it's a blanket statement, but it's supposed to hopefully trigger some sort of a feeling, you know, where you can say, I disagree, and then you can try to, we have a debate about it, you know. Then that's really what it's about. It's about bringing it to the table so we can discuss it, because I think it needs to be discussed that a lot of television and radio is garbage, and it is poisoning people, but not all of it.
My best friend and I were totally compatible. Loved G.I. Joe's comic books, even had a flow. Used to tell me I was going international, and I would say he was just being irrational. He could probably mop up the floor with me, so I assured him he'd surely work security. He was Rashid, I was Raheem. I was pigeon-toed, and he was knock-kneed. We hit the bodega for a hoagie after playing football with a few of the homies. She said, you hungry? Get whatever you want, G. Then he pulled out a pocket full of 20s. I didn't want to ask where he got it, and I knew we couldn't leave that money in his pocket. We was like 11, dog. We ain't have wallets, so we took my bag and put the money inside it.
Okay, let's go back 8 years ago, The Call. Was that your first album, or was that your first album?
That's my first album that ever was available for sale or for mass consumption. I mean, of course, I made demos and things in the house. I made a very little heard album called The Archetype, and then I made another little known album called Fundamentals, but these weren't released for the public. So 2006 was the year that The Call was released, and that was my first project with a label out of Philadelphia called Rom Nation Recordings, which I believe is now defunct. But meeting those guys, you know, gave me a confidence that I never had to speak my mind and say those things that I wanted to say. Even if they were controversial, and so I did. I made an album that I feel is among my best work, and but I feel like it didn't quite get received the way I would have wanted it to.
Mm.
And you know, when you make something that you put your all into, and it doesn't quite get received like you want it to, you get a little discouraged. I mean, I put a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, blood, sweat, and tears, and bringing in session players and just working my behind off to make that album great. So I think it's still a great album. And so that was 8 years ago. Yeah. And I feel like I was a different person then. I try to listen to it now. I'm like, wow, that was me. I felt that way. Wow. You know, but I feel like it was a very cathartic experience. Like I let that stuff out, and it was so therapeutic that I felt like it kind of drained me.
Mm.
I was like the Hulk, just smashing, smash school, smash drug dealers, smash the inner city, smash police brutality, smash religious, you know, idolatry, smash. And then when it's over, I'm like naked and scared and cold and like vulnerable. Mm. You know, I'm back to being Bruce Banner. And that was what happened with that album. You know, I just came back, and it was just, I felt so exposed. And so it made me want to not make music anymore. I made me want to just run away and hitchhike to the next town.
But a lot has happened in those 8 years.
I don't
want to go into your origin story too much, because I think people mostly know it.
Okay.
You were a teacher.
Yes.
And you quit that to become a full-time musician.
Yes, that was 4 years ago.
What was the tipping point? What actually was the tipping point that made you say, right, this is it, I'm making that break?
Well, it was like I was standing on the scale, you know, and on the other side is my school. And it's a total balance. It's me as a rapper and me as a school.
Mm-hmm.
And then the school decides to give a pay cut. And then, so it tilts a little more towards rapping. And then I start getting more and more offers to play gigs out of town where I have to take off of work to do them. So it tips a little more in the artist's favor. And then the state has a visitation, and they come into the school and tell us that because of law changes, we can get written up for various offenses that we didn't know about, that we didn't know existed. So that tilted it a little more. I mean, I saw some of my coworkers being penalized for not having enough posters on the wall or things like that, knowing that teachers have to pay for that stuff, and we're already getting a pay cut. But anyway, so it just started tilting and tilting and tilting until the point where being a full-time artist became very, not only feasible, but just seemed like the only way at this point, because work was really draining me and hurting me. And so I wanted to take a few days off and think about it, maybe go do a gig and come back. And my principal told me, you need to make a decision. You can't keep taking days off. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to make a decision after this. That was my plan. And he's like, well, if I give you this day off, I have to dock your pay. And I was like, well, okay, because I'm going to go get paid when I do this gig, so it'll work itself out.
Mm.
I come back, and I think the tipping point, honestly, after that was Black Materia.
Mm.
And Black Materia came out in January of 2011, the last day of January. But it didn't really, really kick off on the internet until about March. And one day in March, I got a phone call saying Black Materia is on the front page of Reddit.
Mm.
I didn't know what that meant.
Mm.
I mean, I wasn't at that time in 2011 a Reddit reader, but now I am every day.
Mm.
But I was like, what does that even mean? And then, like, that means the internet is talking about you, you know? And
yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. And it just led to more and more gig opportunities, and more of my back catalog was selling, and just things were just working out so well. I'm getting phone calls and interview requests from like Game Informer, Game Pro, PlayStation Magazine, Complex, all these cool places. And I was just like, oh, okay, maybe I have something here. And at the same time, my boss is telling me you're getting a pay cut and you're getting docked. And I was like, all right, I think the writing's on the wall. And so I did. I filled out my 2 weeks notice. My mother always told me, you know, do something the right way. If you're going to quit, do it the right way. I praised them. I thanked them for everything that they had done for me. And I sent a letter into the office on a Friday, or maybe it was a Thursday. And long story short, they weren't very happy to get that letter from me. So they fired me the next day, which was pretty great. They were like, yeah, so that day you took off where we docked you, you weren't supposed to do that. So, yeah, based on what you did, you're being fired. So that makes your 2 weeks notice null and void. It was a total screw job. So that's what happened. So it was like, well, I got nothing now. Like, here we go. Like, here goes everything. Yeah. And after that, I clearly remember I wrote a song that's on the Language Arts album called Everything. And really, that was what I was talking about. Just, here goes everything. Like, this is the dive. Like, I sure hope this works out. And that was it. And ever since then, it's been a wild and crazy ride. Like, I didn't know what the future held for me, but I can't believe that I've been able to keep this ship floating for all these years.
You know, I never thought I'd see the day when doing it the easy way would leave me pondering and escape from the very dream I chased. My favorite student knew it from the second that I seen his face, that I would never see the place again after I leave the day. Yet I tried to run the same routine as usual, but when the realization that it's over gets through to you, very much that you can do. Try to pretend that I'm not the end, but I ain't got any friends, so I gotta pretend. Head on my desk, I'm dying again, but on everything I love and cherish, I'd rather go out like Paris than to watch my genius perish. Blame my parents. Put my all into them students, put my all into the music. Told myself I never sell them short, as long as I can do it at a level higher, higher. Heard that a servant can't talk to different people, sire, sire. So I had to spread my wings, pack my things, chase my dream, break off clean, stuck in the groove, cause there ain't no need to fight when you ain't got nothing to prove. So walking away is the best move. No more khakis and dress shoes, calculated like chess moves. Now or never, let's move. Mama know I love you, but I gotta be a man. Did it your way, so I gotta do it mine. Left those childish ways behind. If I don't try, I'ma lose my mind. Here goes.
It makes me curious, and if I get too personal, of course, say, and you, we don't have to answer anything. But how do you survive as an artist? Do you really make enough money to live on?
Surprisingly, yeah. I mean, but I don't have a lot of crazy expenses, though. I mean, I just finished paying off my car. My rent is fairly cheap in Phoenix, Arizona. I travel a lot, and between music sales, there's licensing, like putting music in movies and film and TVs and things. Those things work out, and then music sales and playing gigs. Somehow it's been able to work out. Like, I mean, I gotta find some wood to knock on. But it's been working out, and when I did the math, I'm making a little bit more as a full-time artist than I made as a teacher with 7 years experience, which is insane.
But great.
It's great because it makes me think, like, maybe this is what I'm meant to be doing.
Yeah.
Because it's keeping me afloat. Like, I haven't had to starve yet, And my mother keeps waiting for the day where I call her up and say, hey, you got a couple $100 for rent,
Yeah.
But it's been working out. Like, I'm living the dream, truly. Yeah. It's that every day I wake up and I'm like, I get to do this for a living. Like, it's insane to think about it.
And this dream has taken you, obviously here to the UK and recently France as well, but also Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
And that must be a career highlight, surely.
Oh, absolutely. We were just talking today with a couple of friends and they were saying, like, they feel like they belong in the U.S. Like, they were born in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And I feel like that about Tokyo. Like,
okay.
I feel like Tokyo is where I belong. Like, I thought about it a few years ago, going out there to teach English. And I wish I would have just tried it, but I was afraid, So that's why my goal now as a musician is to just be an inspiration to not be afraid. To just take that leap, try things out. Mm. because you never know. You could fall in love with it. And that was me. I took a leap to go from Phoenix, or from Philly to Phoenix. I took a leap to go from music to teaching and things like that, teaching music and all over the place. And so it can pay off, you know, in ways that you never thought, you know, and it just takes having the balls to just try it one time, you know. And so that's where I stand. That's like my mission statement. Like, try it, because you might like it.
And so this tour, you've been touring with Mr. Miranda. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him here.
No, he's not here today. He went home.
Oh.
Yesterday.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Back in the U.S.
Well,
yeah.
That was poor timing. Did you tell him about this gig, or were you just keeping it secret?
No, I told him. I was like, man, I need you to stay. This is the one I'm the most nervous about. But he had to get back, you know, and he had to get back for work, and I respect that. So I knew, but I was disappointed. You know, I'm without my homies this time. You
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah. I mean,
normally I come with K Murdoch, yeah. Or the time before that I came with Lost Perception and K Murdoch and DN3. So this time I'm 100% solo, which is kind of scary. You know, very scary. I'm an only child, but when at the same time, like when it comes to music stuff, I've never really been totally on my own. Like, I've always had my security blanket with K Murdoch and those guys. And plus, you know, they make, when things get you may not even know it or believe it, but I get very shy and I get social anxiety. And you're looking at me like you don't believe it.
No, but, I do. Things, but, I had this very same conversation 2 days ago with Michael Kill. And he also saying about having social anxiety.
Oh, yeah. And it's yeah, real.
Loving performing, but being completely...
But, like, afterwards, sometimes it's draining. And you're to the point where I have to run away to recharge, you know. And I don't have that buffer where I can be like, hey, Kyle, talk to those people. I got to run, you know, and now I don't have that. So it's kind of terrifying, you know, to not have that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think I can do it. I mean, I've done it before with like local gigs and things, and I do it on the road in the U.S. when I have to tour by myself. But it's such a, you know, a blessing to have it. You don't realize it until it's not there, you know, where you're just like, oh, man, like just having another person to talk to bounce ideas off of. To let other people talk to, so that you don't necessarily have to hold up the entire conversation while inside of you you're bursting into a ball of nerves, you know. And so it's crazy, but it's fun, man. We're here now. Got to do it.
Yeah. Well, we should wish Kyle K. Murdoch all the best, because he's just started a family, isn't he?
Yes. Kyle just got married. They're expecting a little one.
Yeah.
Extremely proud of him. Kyle's such a hard worker, and we have a lot more projects down the pike.
Yeah.
As well, we're working on, we have a podcast together, the Bits, Rhymes, and Life.
Yeah, which is on the Nerdy Show.
On the Nerdy Show, yeah. Network. We're working on another podcast for a new site called Dash Radio. Mm-hmm. So this podcast will be called The Manual, which will be us talking about video games, talking about music, hip-hop, just whatever's happening in the world,
yeah,
in our worlds, and so that'll be starting this coming Thursday on Dash Radio, which is a DJ Ski's new endeavor. So that should be really awesome.
Mm.
And so yeah, we're working on a lot more. So be on the lookout.
And K Murdoch has been announced, as have I, as a judge in this year's VPC Challenge.
Yes, that's right.
Vocalist Producer Challenge.
I can't wait to hear this stuff, man. If I wasn't going to be on the road the entire month...
you'd clean up.
I would clean up. You know what? Can I say that can I give my dark horse pick?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Tribe One and Bill Beats, I believe, are working together.
Right, eh? Yeah.
That's my pick.
Well, Tribe One, I've become a very huge fan of since meeting him here. We met upstairs in the bar, and I approached him. Obviously, he didn't know who I was, but I explained, and immediately gave me a massive bear hug. So I bought him a beer, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. But what a lyricist, and what a vocalist.
Yes.
His delivery is amazing, and I keep raving about him.
Yes.
On podcasts with other people, which I should stop doing that.
No, not at all. He's great, man. I just toured with them a little while ago.
Mm.
Myself, him, and Doug Funny hit the road a little bit. And I tell people that he's the best MC in nerdcore. People say I'm the best MC in Nerdcore, but you heard it from me. He's the best MC in Nerdcore.
Nerdcore is everyone's so modest.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, everybody is kind of. We're nice guys. We're all friends, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, he does things on stage that I'm just like, whoa. You know, it's not just, you know, recording, which is one thing, but he's able to record and perform at the same high level, which is such a rarity.
And on the real, I got better and release stuff. I can't hear him from that slash theorem. Ran's the future, and y'all so last year with it. I creep through the dirt with verses like serpents, worthless jerks get hurt beneath the surface. Shattered dreams and defeat your purpose. Yeah, I don't need no proof of purchase. You got it. Audible narcotics when the R drop it. Attacking all time.
Let's talk a little bit about interviews. I remember a while ago, maybe a year, 2 years ago, you did an interview with Radio 1 here in the UK, BBC Radio 1. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the show was called. Bleeps. Something like that.
Some several sound effects.
It was available.
Blip, bloop, blaps.
It was available online for about a week or a month to listen to, but then they took it down.
They took it down? What did they do then?
I don't know, because, I mean, I listened to it and enjoyed it immensely. How did that come about?
Man, I wish I remembered.
It was a while ago.
It was so long ago.
It stuck in my mind.
But it was a great, great thing. Like,
BBC Radio 1 is probably the biggest non-commercial radio station in the UK.
Oh, yeah. That was big. They emailed me, and I was like, absolutely. I was on it. I think DJ Cutman was on there. There's a lot of folks on there from the scene. And I guess they just thought what we were doing was interesting at that time, which is kind of what happens with the bigger press. You know, they see something like, oh, that's interesting. People might want to know about that. And then they go find them, you know, like MC Large has been on CNN and Run-A-Lot's been in Newsweek. I mean, these are the things that happen when you have something interesting. You know, and they see a kind of a movement bubbling a little bit. And I think this was happening with our nerd music scene. I don't know how it happened, because if I knew, I would have contacted them again and said, hey, you need to come out to this show.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was fascinating stuff. I mean, perhaps it's back up now. Sometimes they archive stuff.
I hope so. I remember being, like, really proud of the way it came out, because it was really well done.
And you got exposure on Vice as well.
Yeah, the Vice thing was awesome. A guy named Basim came out to my show in Boston. I do remember how that happened. And we talked for like 2 hours after a show. And we were just kind of having like a buddy kind of chat. And he was taking notes. And it just turned into an article. And that was great. Like, you know, it's always cool when bigger outlets pay attention to what we're doing, you know, because it helps legitimize us. And I think that's what we all want at some point. We all want to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Even if we, in their core, don't necessarily take ourselves seriously, we might want someone else to take us seriously. You know, we're not just a bunch of idiots just, you know, bouncing around. Like, these are some of the most intelligent and artistic and creative minds in music, hip-hop music or otherwise.
Yeah.
I'd say. I always say that, like, when people try to make those comparisons, I'm like, come on, man. You see the stuff Whitey Cracker's doing or has been doing, or guys like him in Front-A-Lot conceptually are just blowing away mainstream guys, you know? So we're the guys that are still thinking and still trying hard, you know?
And dating back to a lesser known interview you did, a smaller one, that other rather inferior Nerdcore podcast, Nerdcore Meow, with Beaker, Chadley, and Jesus H. Macy.
Mm-hmm.
I posed a question via them on that show, and it was, I personally am more of a fan of your collaborative work than, you know, your solo. It doesn't mean I don't like it, but personally I prefer the things you collaborate on.
Okay.
And I said, is there any chance of an album of, you know, your collaborations or like a compilation? And you mentioned that there might be a project in the making.
Yes.
Nothing's materialized yet.
Wow, nothing has come of
it
yet.
I know you're busy. I mean,
I have an idea, and I do what I sell at shows on the road is a flash drive, and it has in it a file that says Random Features. Mm. And that was to be the album. It was going to be called Random Features.
I see.
And so right now it's only available on the road.
So you got to buy it, people. You have to.
See, you got to come to a show.
You've got to come to a show, and you've got to buy merch.
That's, you got
to
come to a show.
That's
but
how
yeah,
you make
it's,
a living out of this.
There you go. You got to make exclusive things. That was how. And I think, you know, we've kind of. I feel like we not necessarily cracked the code, but we're dealing with a group of people, our fan base, that is getting a little older, maybe can't go out as much during the week when our shows mostly are, and hang out late to see shows. So you have to do something to incentivize the performance. And that's just, you know, it's just common sense, but I feel like having things that they can only get on the road and experiences that you're only going to get if you're there is the only, or at least one of the only ways that I know of, you know, because we're, you know, we at least me, I know a lot of guys don't like to perform and don't like to travel, but I do, I love it. And I feel like that's my lifeblood, you know, touring is it, like that's where it all comes from, at least most of it. And so we have to make it special for the people that come, you know, and through special merch or special songs or just interactions in general that make it worth it, like the freestyle and some other things that go on during a show. I feel like the involvement has to increase because they have to be able to personalize and own that experience in order to tell people how great it was, and, you know, and to continue to come back.
Well, I mean, having seen you live once before, I was absolutely blown away by that performance. I mean, just really something more than a lot more than I expected.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight immensely.
Thank you.
And hopefully there'll be as good a crowd as we've seen here before, and it's going to be cool. We touched on something before we started recording, when I met up with you outside. It's Sega Dreamcast Day.
Yes, it is.
And you told me something that surprised me. The Dreamcast. Did you want to spill the beans?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Anybody that follows me should know, because I mention it probably every September 9th, that the Dreamcast is my favorite system of all time.
And it's 15 years old today.
15 years old. I won a Dreamcast when I was in college.
Wow.
GameSpot, I think, had a contest where if you found an orange dot on their site and you clicked on it, you would get entered to win a Dreamcast. So I didn't think I would win. I found it. I'm like, beep, whatever. And then one day it came in the mail. I was like, yes.
Wow.
Got myself a free Dreamcast. So that might be a little bit of the reason why.
Possibly, yeah.
You know, I got a free one, but Crazy Taxi, come on. House of the Dead. Oh, man. They still have the greatest launch lineup ever. Because I believe they had Sonic Adventure, NFL 2K, Soul Calibur, some racing game, and something else.
Was it Daytona? Was it
Daytona or Ridge Racer? No, not Ridge Racer. That was a PlayStation.
That was it, Namco. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
But greatest system, at least in my opinion, it was my favorite. I don't know if it was the greatest, but it was so far ahead of its time. And I feel like, unfortunately, that was its demise, that it was too ambitious, probably. But, the first time I played a game online, I was blown away. Like, I'm playing a game online right now, like, on a console. Like, unreal. Or surfing the internet at home, because I didn't have a personal computer at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to surf the internet at home as a college student was just from my console. Like, it was great. The controller, not so much. But the VMU, still ahead of its time. You know, no one's caught up with the VMU.
See, I had this misconception that you would be a devout Nintendo fan.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know you had the song with Richie Benson.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
You're wearing
and
a T-shirt.
I'm wearing sort of the lyrics on it. That's funny.
I like that T-shirt. I love.
But, you know, honestly, I look back and I was a big Sega head coming up, but now I go back to play emulators, and Sega Genesis didn't age very well to me.
No, it didn't. I too was a Sega, always Sega.
I try to play those old Sega, those Mega Drive games, and they're not, you know, they don't have much to offer these days. But the Super Nintendo still does. And looking back now, I can say that the SNES was the greatest system of all time.
Yeah.
Dreamcast is my favorite.
Fair enough. I sold my Mega Jobs, it was here, Genesis, about a year ago. And they're a little bit of pressure for my wife, actually, to start clearing out some of the junk. Now, so I do regret that. But it's amazing, it's like the Game Gear I still have, 20 years after buying it, still works. It's amazing. Wow. Yeah, stuff, you turn it on, I haven't touched it for about 5 years, and it still works.
That's crazy. You couldn't do that with an Xbox 360.
Oh, my Xbox is already dead, it's bricked already, you know? It's like, well, there you go. Yeah.
Make no mistake, I love my Xbox, but I'd rather be doing barrel rolls and Star Fox.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
Hold on.
When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. You gotta be old school if you remember this. Heaven sent, felt like I was on top of the universe, cause I'm popular, no stopping the kid. Man, I wasn't calling no girls, I was clearing 96 levels on Mario World, huh? Mode 7 versus Blast processing. Mom and dad glad because they can stop stressing. Guessing on my whereabouts, I was at Eric's house playing Madden 95, trying to air it out. In the UK they call it SNES, on my block they call it Super. I had it before all the rest. Final Fantasy 2 leveling up. Couldn't get Street Fighter, it was 70 bucks. What? But my next door neighbor did. It was my favorite. Every day I'm playing it, baby.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this.
Okay, well, I would like to end the interview with some questions from the Nerdcore Facebook group. Okay, so first question comes from Carl Barbosa. He says, hello Megaran, I've been a fan for a while, and I'd like to know, which artist or artists, dead or alive, would you love to collaborate with, and what would the subject matter be?
Wow, there's so many. The top of my collaboration list has always been, for a long time, CeeLo Green. I don't know why, but I think we can make a crazy song about love. MF Doom is another favorite. I would love to just collaborate with him about
He lives in London.
I heard we could go get him. Let's go knock on his door.
Funny, I knew. Where he lives.
Let's find out. Yeah, I heard he is out here. I would love to just do a song about nothing, just rapping about silly things with him. Marvin Gaye would be another dream collaboration, just about the economy and the world we live in today. James Brown, just something really just funky and upbeat. There's just so many people. But the top of that list probably would be Weird Al. You know,
that seems achievable.
Well, you never know, man. I mean,
yeah, Lars,
with my degrees of separation, he thanked Lars in his liner notes.
Exactly. So you've got a line.
I'm one degree.
There
so
go.
There's a chance.
Justin Tool, who is part of the amazingly talented Kudos the Kid, who do the theme tune for the show, throws up a question every week for me. What was the craziest thing you saw in Japan?
It wasn't crazy particularly, but I posted about it because it was a situation that made me wish I could crawl into a hole. There was a DJ at the club there playing a song by an artist named YG, and the song is called My N-Word. And when he played the song, the DJ attempted to get everyone to sing along, and he's like, everybody, my nigga. I was like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. But I understand they have no idea of anything about what the word means or anything, but it was a little funny, but at the same time, it was just kind of a little crazy. So that was definitely the craziest thing I saw. Yeah.
Okay. Metarain, which sounds a lot like Megaran.
Yeah.
What do you think about Slam Jam?
What is Slam Jam?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I need to find out. I'll Google it, I guess.
Okay, Metarain, perhaps you can let us know.
Metarain.
Jolimus. Oh, no, I'm not going to ask Jolimus. Is it true that you are Jolimus? I heard that you were the same person. He's crazy. Mm. Okay, one up. Emmanuel. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Awad.
That's difficult, isn't it?
Awad, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, one up. Creative mind frame. I think we know him better as.
Yeah.
Your own favorite song that you've made and why?
My favorite song is on Heroes, and it's a song called Hand Me Downs. That's my favorite because it's a track that when I play it, it reminds me of like really innocent, cool times as a kid playing basketball on the street with a bunch of kids and just being innocent. And the chorus is talking about, you know, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. From shirts to shoes, the pants to socks to hats to, you know, to basketball to whatever. Just saying, like, if I have it, then we all have it. And that was really how it was growing up. And it's not much like that as adults anymore. People don't necessarily talk and hang out like they used to. So that's a song that brings back some really, really cool times for me. So, yes, that would be the one. Hand me downs.
The next question is a little generic. It doesn't say whether it's specific to nerdcore or in general, but Matt Herrick asks, who do you think is the breakthrough artist of 2014? I guess so far.
Well, it's still pretty early.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go out on a limb and say a person that I know personally, and I'm honored to know this person, is a guy named Open Mike Eagle.
Ah, okay.
Open Mike Eagle's having an amazing year, and I think it's just going to continue to get better and better. He just dropped a new video with Wyatt Cenac, and it's amazing. I think he's really pushing the bar on what an artist should do, and it's interesting. I can't think of any other way to come up with or any other adjective, but it's just his music is so interesting, and most of rap is not. So he's definitely my guy.
He's hot at the moment. Evan Lee asks, do you have any pangs or misgivings about leaving your job as a teacher?
Yeah, I missed the benefits. Big time. I wish I had the health benefits still. There's still that, you know, in the States we have the Affordable Health Care Act, known as Obamacare.
Mm.
And so we still, you know, so every person has to have health care. And unfortunately, as an independent contractor, which is what I am now, because I'm my own boss, I have to pay more for those services than I would if I was in a job.
I see.
So it's a little tougher for that stuff. So, you know, dentist visits are a little less frequent. But you know how that goes. But I think that, and I miss the kids. I miss them a lot, you know. And sometimes I want to know how those kids turned out. But I don't even know if I would always have found that out anyway, you know.
Well, if none of them hit you up, do any of them?
Once in a while, but, you know, it's funny. I used to think it was inappropriate for them to contact me while I was teaching them. Like they would try to like add me on Facebook, and I'd just block them. So I believe that they were all still blocked, probably. But I've seen some like send me comments on like on YouTube, like, hey, teach, this is George. God, you're still doing well, you know. So things like that. And so that makes me happy, but yeah, that's the thing I miss the most is the kids.
Did you ever rap in school?
Oh yeah, all the time. All the time.
Evan's got a couple more questions. I mean, we've pretty much answered the "Do you still go by Random?" Or has Mega Random become the title that you're most associated with?
Did I answer it?
You did.
Okay, what did I say?
Well, you said you were pretty much going with Mega Ram.
Okay.
You would still keep Random, a.k.a. Mega Ram.
Yes, that's what it's basically going to be. Through on the release, it'll say Mega Ram, but, you know, and I don't know. It's still weird, but I feel like Mega Ram is just, it's become more known. I'm more known as that, maybe. Mm. And it's an easier Google search term. So even when I type in Megaran, sorry to dwell on this, but if I type in Megaran as a descriptor on YouTube, it'll give me Random parentheses musician.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. So that means that they're still known as the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And for what it's worth, I'm the most popular Random. For what that's worth.
That's worth a lot.
And if you Google Random rapper, it would be me. I'm the only Random rapper. But
you have good SEO.
darkness all around. All encompassing, I'm functioning, I'm summoning dungeons of cunning creatures. Until I gotta run and they run and I'm hunting. The rapping avalanche, I cast quickly. I pass cats like sands through hourglasses sickly. From ash I rise, I hack and slash surprise. Phoenix down and is the only option unless you stopping. I give you round of applause if you gather up all of your guards. So I ain't gotta work that hard, I got gone. Run up and slaughter them all. It don't really matter who you gon' call, call them all. Run up and slaughter them all. And I bet it's gonna get crazy, amazing, blazing, I'm major. When you see that Zelda emblem hang around my neck, I end them, suspend them, I blend them. My final fantasy is never ending. My life stream is just an overdose on life stream. I'm frightening, when I'm wielding the mic, it's like I'm lightning. Ha!
Absolutely, you can stand the avalanche. Grab a sword, level up a family, you don't have a chance. We got this appearance, criteria, the river, the various terrors. We're living in clear area, it gets scarier. You think you can stand the avalanche? Grab a sword, level up a family, you don't have a chance. We got this appearance, criteria, the river, the various terrors. We're living in clear area, it gets scarier.
I've been real, when I'm with ill, I spit skills. Get gilled, light like mithril, roll like a pinwheel. Live from the live stream, tighten your flows or get tossed in a cycle of souls. And only the fullest ride, the rest know full well it's suicide. We monsters who traveled here on the last lunar cry. Prototype of the oversight, archetype, parasite. Get your data right again, shattered like time. I'm a lyrical rhyme slave, reaching for my digital mind wave and start the crime wave. A Project G when the media falls, saw the future without reading your palms. I read 13 chapters and no rappers come after. Ran an ill blow like macro reactors. Keep the system ready, equip the spray. Command counter with the ultima, bring it into your day.
Absolutely, you can stand the avalanche. Grab a sword, level up a family, you don't have a chance. We got the superior material, the river, the various terrors. We were living in clear area, it gets scarier. You think you can stand the avalanche? Grab a sword, level up a family, you don't have a chance. We got the superior material, the river, the various terrors. We were living in clear area, it gets scarier.
Mm-hmm. Are you worried about being closely associated with one fandom and or work? Splash Woman seems to be incredibly well known among the nerdcore crowd. The Black Materia songs are distant second. Do you have any tracks that you think might not get the love they deserve?
That's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
There's this whole album called The Call that I didn't think got the love it deserved. But songs like Push on there, Raise the Bar, songs that I feel are amazing. I still play them live and they still give me the same chill that I got when I created them. And that's the same with Splash Woman and Black Materia stuff. You know, I still get the same awesome feeling, and I still remember me sitting in my room writing them or whatever. So it's there. I'm okay with being known for Splash Woman or known for Black Materia, because it's better to be known for something than known for nothing, you know.
That's very true.
They walk up to you like, who are you? You know, not you're the guy with the Splash Woman, you know. So yeah, I'm totally okay with that. And if I didn't like the songs, that's why you got to be careful to only release things you like and you care about, because it would suck having to perform a song that I hated forever.
Fail Adams asks, what's your favorite video game
of all time?
Yeah. I mean, one would assume, probably incorrectly, Mega Man.
That would be incorrect, because my actual favorite, if I had to pick one, is Zelda Link to the Past.
Okay.
If I had to pick one. Or Mario 3, and then Mega Man 2.
Chuck Cliff B. Wilfong Jr. asks a number of questions. I'm just going to pick one of them. What draws you to the beats you choose? Do you have a specific criteria, aside from the theme of the song that you're looking to make, like hard bass or a certain groove to it? And does it have to immediately inspire you? Maybe not with lyrics immediately, but inspiration into the flow that you want to deliver on it.
It depends on the song, really. But a lot of times I go with a particular beat because of a sound or a style I've heard maybe on the radio or in a shuffle on my iPod. I'm like, ooh, that's the sound I'm looking for. And so I'll loosely have that in mind when I write the next song. I try not to listen to too much hip hop when I'm writing, because it makes me want to copy, and I don't want to be a copycat. But I think that it always depends. Very seldom, though, I write without a beat, you know. And I was talking with Front a lot. Well, we were talking to people in a panel, and he was just saying, "Don't write for nothing," you know. And a lot of rappers do it, where you're just writing just to be writing. You know, if the song's not about anything, it's probably not going to have any staying power.
Right.
You know, so always have a meaning in mind or a message in mind or a something in mind other than this is going to be a hot metaphor, you know, or something like that. But yeah, like, but it always depends on what I'm trying to do. But you know, I usually try to let a hard kick, you know, make sure it's got a hard leading kick and a really like kind of funky bass line to go with. And I listen to the hi-hat, which is what I've learned to do. And I read somewhere that Eminem did that. He writes to the hi-hat, which is a intricate way of writing, and it keeps you kind of intricate, I guess, or different with your patterns of rhyme. So it helps you to vary it up.
Yeah. Stephen B-Type Brunton asks, how awesome is Superbike going to be?
It is going to be super awesome. I hope B-Type is playing as well, because he has a track, Lavender Town, which I really love. And I love to hear them play that. So it's going to be a fun time. Superbike is in Manchester, and that's the event that started this whole tour. I had a great time there last year, and they asked me to come back. So I was like, yeah, I'll come back. And then I had to think about how I was going to get back. And so I had to book a tour. And hopefully, you know, I was just hoping that the pay I'd make from the shows would just offset the cost of coming out. And they have so far, so it's been great. But Superbike will be amazing. Last time, that was probably the most fun show I've ever played. And they affectionately named their town Manchester, Mega Ranchester.
I like it. Okay, last question then. It's from Adam Pierce, and he said, hopefully you know what this means. Have you parted with any of those $2 bills yet?
Oh, I absolutely have. Those dollar bills have been all over the place in some very sweaty places. You may not want to know.
I don't want to.
But he came to the two shows on the last tour. He came to Portland and Seattle for PAX, and he would buy merch and always pay in $2 bills. And they were like these very clean, brand new, numerical order $2 bills. And so, I don't know. They still have a mystique to them in America. Like when you see a $2 bill, you're like, ooh, because I guess as kids we were always taught like they're for good luck or something, you know. And so when you see a handful of them, you're like, whoa, infinite luck, you know. So yeah, man, they've definitely gotten their use, and I think one of them's still in my wallet.
Cool. Well, I think that just about wraps things up. Doors are open, I imagine. People should be arriving.
All right.
So all that's left to do tonight is for me to enjoy and you to perform. And sweet. Hopefully enjoy as well.
Oh, I'll enjoy it.
Good stuff. Random, Mega Ran, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Than she ever could have got the church. Is that wrong? Living for that song, learning from that lyric and steering others from wrong. We living off love, never needing a meal. Full from the enlightenment and warmth that we feel. Yeah. Overflow of emotion from chilling, chasing the girls to floating over the ocean and maybe changing the world. First two emails like, hey, that's hype. Next few emails, you changed my life. Even if I inspire and people call it untimely, all you gotta do is rewind me, cause I've got
infinite lives. We got infinite lives. Never say never, we're gonna live forever. Infinite lives. We got infinite lives. Never say never, we're gonna live forever.
They said you only live once. Well, I beg to differ, cause you can live forever through the feelings you deliver. From the first raindrop to the rush of a mighty river, I give you the bigger picture. Glitcher and leave a fissure. Open it full of hope and it's smoldering like a cogent. Proceeding with caution, will never feel your garden pardon. Everybody who doubted and left my memory clouded, I decided instead of complaining, I'd do something about it. Forever's not a time, it's a place of a state of mind. Though they never gave me mine, I elected to stay behind. There's deeds I need done, pages I haven't filled, places I haven't been to, mistakes I haven't killed, lives I haven't touched, and words I need to say. Tell me who needs forever when all forever's today. If I die, it's right on time, it's meant to be this way. Now tell me who needs forever, all forever's today. Come on.
Infinite lives, we got infinite lives. Never say never, we're gonna live forever. Infinite lives. Die.
experience in the Blur Bomber. Thank you for being here. No, I mean it really. Thank you for being here. Yeah. I handle my business, yeah. The creator's my witness. Word. Friends are cures to my sickness, yeah. That's why I'm able to kick this. Like Robin Van Persie, these chickens are mad thirsty, and now they mad flirty. Lord have mercy. I'm not used to attention, nah. I'm not usually mentioned, nah. But then it gets addictive, yeah. Might need an intervention to come up where I live with dealers and derelicts and make it out of this with someone to share it with. So if I make a move, we all make a move. Ain't about staying true, that's just the way I move. If you've been rocking with me from when my pocket's empty, you knew that nothing changed, now they're just not as empty. Always came in last, so now we take it back. Now I'm like Metal Sonic, trying to change the past. So now I rhyme about conquering my doubts. Stop wondering my motive, just listen and find out. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. Come on. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. Let's go. And if I sound happy, what? It's cause I found happy. Word. I thought these clowns had me, I schooled them like Brown Mackey, and ended the misery, and now we making history, yeah. Action is white knuckled, what? Like that it couldn't be. Exposing my negatives like a dark room, so if my head ever gets big like in the cartoons, y'all bring me back to earth like a parachute. My compadres, I'm forever down with you.
I'm forever down with
every
you.
Every Sonic needs a tails. Every winner needs to know what it looks like to fail. And believe me, I know it well. Got enough baggage for 100 show and tells. And now it just feels right, yeah. My people's real tight, yeah. I'm giving Sonic a voice like I'm Jaleel White. Word. So we forge performing, because normal is boring, yeah. And for sure it's important, and we off in the orb. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. Come on. I call you my best friend, cause you got my back, and I love you for that. Let's go.
People think I'm just exaggerating when I say, I don't call them my fans, I call them my family. It's true, man, cause y'all have done probably more for me than a lot of my family have, man. Y'all literally keep my lights on and keep this music and this movement going strong. So if anybody's ever bought a record, told somebody about a record, or come out to a show, thank you. I call you my best friend. So when I'm in your town, don't front. I'm coming over to play Xbox and raise your fridge. Cause that's what friends do. Don't get scared. We're in this now. Friends to the end. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from theunheardnerd.com. If there's a rapper, a producer, or somebody associated with the nerdcore scene that you'd like to hear interviewed on the Word to the Nerd podcast, or if you have music you'd like to submit for the mixtape podcast, please get in touch. You can find me on Twitter, it's @theunheardnerd, facebook.com/theunheardnerd. There's a contact page on theunheardnerd.com, or the easiest and quickest way is via email. It's theunheardnerd@gmail.com.